we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture for us this day from the Gospel of Mark, if you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Hear these words from chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And Jesus called them to him, and he spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, Satan cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will not be forgiven for their sins whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. The crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And Jesus replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters?" And looking at those who sat around him, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our lives. Our daily living. And now, O God, we pray for your sense of peace and comfort, that we might hear and discern your words for us this day. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Has anyone here ever been misunderstood? Yeah, probably it's easier to say, has anyone here not been misunderstood? This morning's text is full of misunderstandings. The people and the scribes from Jerusalem are misunderstanding Jesus. The family of Jesus is misunderstanding his ministry and who was his family. I came upon a story about a traveler in an airport. She went to the lounge and she bought a small package of cookies and a newspaper, and she went and found a chair and sat down to wait for her flight. And a gentleman came and sat down next to her. There was a chair in between the two of them, and as she was reading her newspaper, she heard a rustling, and she, sneakily moved the newspaper to see her package of cookies, and he was opening it. And he took a cookie, and the steam began to brew within her, and she reached over and took one of her cookies and enjoyed it, and heard noise again, and he was taking another one of her cookies, and so she took another one of her cookies. And then she realized, as her steam was still building, that there was one cookie left, and he took that package of cookies, took that last cookie, snapped it in two, put it back in the bag, and pushed it over to her, ate his half a cookie, and then left. When her flight arrived, she folded up her newspaper, still a little bit fuming, put her newspaper in her bag to find her package of cookies. Sometimes our assumptions are wrong. And not everything seems to be as we think it is. The scribes are challenging Jesus as to who he is. He cannot be a man of God. He's healed on the Sabbath. He's collected and harvested on a Sunday. He's allowed women to sit at his feet. There is no way that this man can be from God, because the law is the law, and he has broken the law. The scribes even go so far as to say he is accusing, they're accusing Jesus of being Beelzebul, a pagan god identified with Satan. He's filled with an unclean spirit. The family of Jesus comes to rescue him. They're clueless as to who he is as well. I'm sure they're even a little upset when they send word and say, well, let Jesus know that his mother, his brothers and sisters are here. And Jesus responds not by saying, oh, I'll go home with them. He responds by saying, who is my mother and my brothers and sisters? Misunderstood indeed, for sure. But we have to ask ourselves, do we really understand who Jesus is? Do you and I really understand who Jesus is? And what are we doing about what we do know about Jesus Christ? Who are we telling? How are we living our lives? Are the followers of Jesus Christ growing in numbers or shrinking? Are our churches growing in numbers or shrinking? Probably this year at annual conference, we will vote on at least a couple churches that are to be closed as United Methodist churches and be no more. Sometimes we may wonder when we think about all this church stuff, or we turn on the news and just see what is going on, what is this world coming to? But perhaps this is a question that is unworthy of the church. What is this world coming to is the world's question. The church's question is, does the world know what is coming to this world? Are we willing to reach out and to touch the presence of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to get involved? Are we willing to see the wonderful things that will happen in the lives of individuals when they have an experience with Jesus Christ, when they remember the power and the presence of Christ? Are we willing to take that risk and to be misunderstood? Over the years, I have enjoyed the movie Hook. Anybody see it? Oh, it's this side. Hook is kind of Peter Pan 2, and it's an older movie, I know, but I love it. It's got, Dustin Hoffman in it, Robin Williams, and Julia Roberts is just some of the three biggies. Peter is all grown up, and he doesn't know who he was. He doesn't know who he is. And Captain Hook comes back and kidnaps Peter's two children, his son and his daughter. Well, Peter Pan, Peter, as it is in the movie, doesn't know that he's Peter Pan. He doesn't remember Never Never Land. And Tinkerbell, Julia Roberts, she has to come back and take him to Never Never Land. And he finds himself there with the lost children. But none of these little boys believe that he is the Pan, because he's all grown up. And as far as these young boys know, grown-ups are pirates. Now, the one young boy who's now in charge, Rufio, he's the one that has Peter Pan's golden sword. And after they're trying and pushing back and forth and things are going on and Peter has just fallen to his knees, Rufio takes out the sword, draws a line in the dirt and says, if you do not believe that this grown-up is Peter Pan, then step across that line with me. They all come over. But one. One little boy walks up to Peter and he pokes him in the belly. As again, Peter's on his knees. And he starts to touch and to sense and to feel. And his hands get about here. And this little boy pushes up and gets that smiling face, and he looks into Peter's eyes deeply, and then all of a sudden he goes, well, there you are, Peter Pan. There I see you. One little child took the risk. Others did not understand. They didn't see and understand what he was doing, what he was looking for. But he looked deeply into the spirit of this man, Peter, and there he saw the Pan. Do we understand Jesus? Are we willing to look into his eyes and say, there's the Christ, there's the one? Are we willing to get involved in the lives of our brothers and sisters here and outside of the walls of this church? Are we ready to become what God has created, nurtured, and planted us to be? Oh, we've all had it happen as well, where we put fresh batteries in a flashlight and sometime later we're cleaning out that drawer and we come upon that flashlight and we flick the switch and nothing. Well, they were good when I put them in here. And then we take off the end and a good hard shake and those batteries come flying out with that pinkish brown goo or dust. And we realize that potentially they've damaged the flashlight. We know very well that those batteries are done for. But I kept them safe and warm, kept them in a dark place. But those batteries are meant to be used or they'll go bad. You see, we're designed to be used as well. We were created not to be safe and warm and comfortable. If you have your yellow shirt on, please stand. Oh, to everybody but just the two of you again. All right. There were more earlier. That was last year's work shirt, right? The church has left the building. Indeed, we're really not the church until we leave the building, until the power and the presence of Christ has so touched our hearts, minds, and spirits that we are willing to leave the walls, the comfort, the warmth, the safety, and go to our brothers and sisters in the world. As we share together in this holy meal, may we understand and may we share Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, your Spirit is upon us. And sometimes we admit we don't get it. Sometimes we miss those mission and ministry opportunities, oh God, but we pray that your Spirit will so wrap us around your Holy Spirit that we might always be in tune with you and faithfully serve and meet the needs of our brothers and sisters within and outside the walls of this church. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.